Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. In this episode, we're diving into why those with a sensitive nervous system, also known as empaths, can get overwhelmed by grief instead of moving through the grieving process. And how you, whether you're supporting clients, patients, or working through your own healing, can navigate grief differently, knowing that you're an empath or a highly sensitive person. Recently, I received a question from Mark, a somatic therapist on LinkedIn, and he asked, Dr. Amy, as an empath myself and still working on my own past, how can I help them, my clients, process their pain without me getting overwhelmed, shutting down, or burning out? Mark, great question. I will answer your question at the end, because in this episode, we are going to cover how to recognize a highly sensitive nervous system, why empaths experience grief differently in their bodies, common ways sensitive people try to numb emotional pain, and practical ways to create safety and resilience for yourself or your clients as empaths. This episode will give you practical tools you can use right away to protect your energy and navigate change and grief differently as a result. Before we dive in, I'm going to make a quick ask and tell you what you will get for 2 minutes of your time. I am asking you to leave a review on Apple and Spotify. Yep, right now, pause the video, go leave a review on Apple and Spotify, please. And here's what you will get. Take a quick screenshot of your review, share it on LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook, and tag me. I will be giving away a strategy call with my team at the end of the month to all who tag me in a post showing your review on Apple or Spotify. With that, let's get started. When we have a more sensitive system, we will feel grief more than other people. And as a result, we will have a tendency to be overwhelmed more by grief rather than being able to grieve and move through those emotions and recreate a map of our relationship with that person, place, or thing that we lost or changed. This is why we need to look at our system and how sensitive is it, because it helps us know how to navigate the grieving process to know how much support do I need to bring my system? How much safety do I need to intentionally bring in for my system? Knowing that if I don't do these things intentionally, they won't just happen by chance. I need to create the safety. I need to create the support. And so knowing how much safety and support my system needs is key for being able to navigate the grieving process. Being able to open up a sensitive system because we're holding the pain, not because we're ignoring the pain or avoiding or distracting, shutting it off or shoving it down, but because we're holding it, even those of us who are empaths and have a more sensitive system, we can open up to life, open up to connection, open up to love, open up to joy. And being able to explore what the future holds because we're able to hold the pain, honor the past, and support our system to be resilient. It's not a this or a that. It's a both. I can hold the pain and see the possibilities of the future. How do we do that? Well, we recognize that the impact of being an empath and having a more sensitive system is going to influence our energy level, is going to influence my emotional responses, is going to influence my interaction with others. And the more that I can recognize when that is affecting my energy, my response, my interactions, allows me choices that I might not have otherwise if I wasn't even aware that it was playing a role. And so being able to see what kinds of sensitivities do I have? Is my system more sensitive to physical things being the texture of my clothes, chemicals, the air? Is it more sensitive to energy, and being able to feel other people's energies when I'm in their space? Do I have more sensitivity to foods? Or what about to other sensory things? Temperature, light, sound. Once I identify the different and specific type of sensitivity that I have, well, now I can bring in support in an intentional way. And I can be very deliberate with the type of support and safety that I bring in because I know these vulnerabilities. You might call them weaknesses. I just like to call them sensitivities because I don't like to think of it as a weakness. It's just a sensitivity, meaning my system is more sensitive to those things. What does that mean? For me, it means that it's more tuned in. It's more sensitive. It's more tuned in to that information. And that's how I look at it. It's more tuned in to my environment. It's more tuned in to the lights, the sound, the textures, the chemicals, the foods. It's more tuned in to those things. It's more tuned in to the energy from other people. It's more tuned in than someone else might be tuned in to those things. They may not even, it's not even on their radar. They're not picking up what I'm picking up. So that's what I mean by sensitive. It's just I'm picking it up. I'm being able to sense it, sensitivity, sense it when other people might not be. All right, my friends, what have we covered so far? We've covered what makes someone have a more sensitive nervous system, how empaths feel grief more intensely than others, and why sensitivity affects your energy levels and responses. Coming up next, how to identify your specific sensitivities and the connection between energy management and life purpose. And so I get to manage that. I get to support that. I like that word better than manage. I get to support that. And so knowing that my body has a sensitivity to sounds, for example, what can I do to support my body when I am in an environment with sounds that would normally irritate my nervous system? Can I wear earbuds and I can be playing my own music? Or maybe it's not playing my own music, but maybe just dampening down the volume of the environment so that it doesn't irritate my system as much. And when I can bring in that kind of support, then I can go through those experiences and not have my energy as drained as if I didn't have that support. Because at the end of the day, my life, your life, my work, your work, my life purpose and accomplishing my life purpose and you accomplishing your life purpose comes down to energy management. It's when we don't have the energy that we won't accomplish our life purpose. If we don't have the energy, we may not even have figured out our life purpose yet. Why? Because we don't have the energy to figure it out. My life purpose is just to get through today. That's your purpose when you have no energy, when you don't have enough energy, when you don't feel like you have enough energy. And so knowing that I have these sensitivities, and if I'm not supporting my sensitivities, it's draining my energy. And it takes a withdrawal from my energy account. And it's gone. It's just gone. The money's not there. Which means that when I have something that I want to pay, I want to invest in, I'm looking at my account and I'm like, well, this is the amount that I have to invest. What will this get me? And sometimes it doesn't get me much because my account is empty. So sensitivity really comes down to energy management, identifying those things that take my energy, drain my energy. Those are not the things that I usually decide to try to get better at. Let me work on that. Let me go take a course on that. Let me get a coach for that. Let me get better at that thing. If it's a sensitivity for your body, it's best to just support it and build the other areas of your life, of your personality, of your nervous system that are strengths for you. Those are things that you want to invest in, not to try to scrape the bottom of the barrel of these things that you're not naturally good at. They drain your energy, and at best, you're going to be able to tolerate them, but they're never going to be what you love to do. They're never going to be what you love to be around. They're never going to be what you find energy from doing, from being around, from being exposed to, from listening, from learning. And so identifying those things in our life that we are more sensitive to, we're more tuned into those things in a way that drains our energy because we want to support and minimize the impact as much as possible so that we have more energy in our bank account to invest in those things that we really want to be doing. And we can notice those things as well. We can notice what are those things that I am sensitive to and in a good way. I have a strength. I tune into this and other people don't seem to be tuned into that as much. This is a strength of mine. This sensitivity is a strength of mine and it gives me energy. One of my sensitivities that is a strength of mine is teaching. I have the capacity to be able to hold the space for all of us. I'm able to tune into each of you, know where you're at, know how to meet you right where you're at. It fills me up with energy. So this is a sensitivity of mine that is a strength. And so I invest in it. These are the things that I choose to invest in because I want to strengthen that sensitivity. I want to get better at this sensitivity. And there are other sensitivities like light that I am drained by, which is why if you see me outside of class, you will often see me wearing sunglasses. And so I support my body. And even though it looks silly, ridiculous, yes, even stupid, I wear my sunglasses inside of my own house because it's a way that I can support my light sensitivity. Clothes, textures of clothes. I never used to pay attention to that because I thought it was the stupidest thing to think that I might be sensitive to clothes and texture. And it was really important for me to always look good. There's a story behind that, of course. And so I never paid attention to that. It was just my mind made the decision every morning. What do I need to wear to look good for what I'm going to do? And then one day my body started talking to me. I know that thing below my neck that I have that I didn't live in before. One day it started talking to me and it was like, really? Do we have to put that shirt on? It drains my energy. And so I started listening to my body. I was like, oh, you mean if I listen to you and your sensitivities, I can help all of us have a better day because I'm not draining our energy in the background by wearing clothes that are uncomfortable and that feel like they take energy to have to wear? Oh, so there are things all around us in our everyday. Sensitivities that some will be strengths and give us energy. And we want to save our energy for those things. We want to save our energy for those things, which means that we need to guard our energy from the sensitivities that drain us. When I was in the hospital and clinics and seeing lots of patients every day, whew, my empath sensitivity was drained by the end of the day. There were so many people that were coming into my space and I was feeling their energy. And these are patients that are coming to me because they're hurt, they're broken, they're struggling. They need help. They need my help. Every single person needed something from me. And by the end of the day, I had nothing left. I had given it all. But it was just also the environment in which I was in that was draining my energy. And so I started to bring in things. That's when I started to bring in foot support first. For those of you who know that story, that was a game changer for me. I was self-conscious about having different things around me to support my body. So the first thing that I brought in that I felt no one would notice was feet support underneath my desk. I could hide it. And so I brought in these. I started with tennis balls, and then I found other balls that were better, even better support for my feet. And when a person came in and a patient came in, guess what I started to do? I would move my foot around to find that ball and put it right underneath my arch. And I just start pushing down into the ball, pushing down, having that sense of grounding while I'm with this person. And the most fascinating thing happened. I got to the end of the session and my energy wasn't drained. I thought, how interesting. You mean I've been doing this wrong all these years? I've let my sensitivities be drained. I've let that happen. Oh, I can support my sensitivities so that I still guard my energy and have the energy for those things that I want to invest in. And it allowed me to invest in those people more because I didn't feel like my energy was being drained by them, which when I felt that way with someone, I naturally would put my guard up. It's going to be inevitable that our guard goes up around people that we feel drain our energy. Guard up. Don't take any more energy than what you have to. You're already taking more than what I want you to take. And now it was a different story because now I could maintain more of my sense of self, my body, because of the different support that I was bringing in, the different somatic support that I was bringing in. So I was more clear on my stuff and their stuff. And I didn't feel that there was that transfer of energy happening without my letting it happen, without my permission. And so it allowed me to then choose, how do I want to invest in this person without losing myself in the process? But without supporting my sensitivity, that pattern would have continued. And so for you, in your environment, in your home, in your bedroom, in your workplace or study place, what are things in your environment that you can notice, they're draining my energy without my permission? It's happening in the background. And yes, I can ignore it, but it takes energy to try to ignore it. And even just like the clothes that I was wearing, it still feels like a burden to my body that's absorbing this information, even though my mind would tell me that it shouldn't bother my system. Can I drop in and listen to my environment and just ask my body, what do you feel about my environment? What do you feel about this light? What do you feel about this music, sound, news that I'm listening to right now? What do you feel about it? And being able to listen to the answers and then respond based on the information that we get. This is the reality of living in our world as an empath. And I will also say that this is what allows us to be an even better, I want to say, guide to help other people in their distress. Because I know what it feels like to be distressed. I have a sensitive system. I have felt distress. if I had never felt that, I'm not going to be a great guide to help other people whose nervous systems feel in distress. It's because I have had these sensitivities and I have learned how to support them that then I am more tuned in to other people who have similar types of sensitivities, and I can know how to change the environment for helping their nervous system feel safe, safer around me, and also be able to give them some valuable information when they ask me for help. And this is where even those sensitivities can become strengths of ours, so that those who are empaths actually can become the best people to hold space for other people. Even though our experience would not tell us that, our experience would tell us, no, run for the hills, because if you try to be the one to help another person, your energy will just be drained even more, which is true until we've learned how to support our sensitivities. In this last section, we've talked about how to support your sensitivities in practical ways, why empaths can become better guides for others, and the importance of energy management for sensitive people. Next up, why sensitive people often choose numbing behaviors and how parts of us can take over during overwhelm. But let's talk about grief for a moment. Part of me did something this week that sabotaged the other parts of me. And it had to do with grief and sensitivities. This is unusual for me because usually I am at a much better place to be able to work with my part so that this part does not jump in the driver's seat. But I have to tell you, Monday, 7 p.m., this part jumped into the driver's seat. The headline is that Amy had the best day ever on Monday. Even just thinking back on it right now. It fills me with so much expansion and excitement. The headline of the day was, Amy just nailed it. Amy nailed it. I got invited to be part of a documentary, and I flew out to Salt Lake City to be filmed, and I had done the preparation work that I like to do before something like that. So I walk in feeling so centered, so heart-centered, really able to share from both my head and my heart, which I did. But I had also done the other preparation work that I like to do, which is, hey, if I'm coming into town, let me use my time well. And I had asked the producer ahead of time, who else is an awesome person in Salt Lake City that I should get to know while I'm in Salt Lake City? And they had totally, totally set things up. So I went from being filmed in the documentary and being interviewed, it was an hour and a half process, to then having the afternoon filled with amazing people and meeting amazing people. So for me, given who I am, I was walking on clouds. Like, this was just having my cake and eating it too, all at the same time. It doesn't get any better than this for me. And I get back to my hotel room and that part shows up. Your life is actually really lonely. You're going back to a home where It's not what you like. It's not what you would want it to be. These people get to have this every day. You've made a lot of mistakes in your life that make this not your everyday normal thing. And it should be. You should be operating at this level. And this part jumped into the driver's seat. And the feelings of grief for wanting to have areas of my life different than what they are now became unbearable. and it crossed that critical line of overwhelm. And this part drove me to eat things that I should not eat, that I know that I have a sensitivity to. And yet here I am. I actually changed my flight ticket. I was feeling so sorry for myself that I changed my flight ticket to fly home that evening rather than the next morning as I had planned, because I really needed to punish myself well. So I really needed to stay up late, compromise my sleep. This part really wanted me to feel the shame and punish me for that. So I changed my flight, sitting at the airport, and here I find myself walking into the store in the airport and buying a snack that I know that I'm not hungry. I know that I am not physically hungry. I am definitely emotionally hungry. I'm feeling emotionally very empty and needing to fill that space, wanting to fill that space. And the food that I choose is one that I know that I'm going to have a reaction to. This was a conscious choice. I knew that the next day was going to be awful for me, which is probably why this part of me really wanted me to eat that. Like, let's really punish you. Like, we really want to do a good job here. And this is how our sensitivities play a role with grief. Because if I didn't care about certain things, if I didn't care that these certain areas of my life were not how I had imagined them to be, how I had wanted them to be at this phase of my life, there wouldn't be grief around it. But I do care. And there is pain there. And that part of me, of course, knows exactly which buttons to push to reach that pain. And rather than in the moment feeling able to feel the pain, I decided to try to numb it. And the ways in which we choose to numb things are directly related to the sensitivities that we have. Because if we do have a food sensitivity, for example, if we choose to eat that food, the noise, the emotional noise, will be silenced even more because it will be so physically uncomfortable. The physical pain will far outweigh the emotional pain. Or maybe our sensitivities are more to sound, and we find ourselves reaching for music that have lyrics that we know is not really supporting our best self. But we find ourselves listening to it, drowning out the emotional noise. And so being a more sensitive person, having sensitivities, will show up with our grief. And this is a growth edge for us. This is a growth edge for me still, obviously, something I get to work on, something I learned about myself this week. If I could capture what I learned about myself, it'd be that Amy finds that she still feels alone in a large part of her life and that it bothers her more than she had thought. And that's how I discovered it, is it shows up as grief. It bothers me more than I even knew. And this is how I learned that about myself. And this is how oftentimes you will learn things about yourself. It shows up in these kinds of moments where a part of you shows up and it's driving you to do something that you're like, wait a second, we already know how this turns out. Why would we do this? Oh, because this is a bigger pain, a bigger grief than what I have even realized. Okay. And the more sensitive we are, the more that we will feel that pain. And the more that we will both be at risk of getting overwhelmed by it and seeking those things that will quiet the noise. And the more that we get to learn, how do I support my body through this size of pain, through this size of grief, realizing that it's actually more than what I thought. So my hope is that you'll realize some new sensitivities that you have, or that the sensitivities that you've already known that you have are actually maybe to a greater degree than what you even have known. And that way you can do something about it. You can apply your tools. You can bring deliberate support, consciously making that decision so that we don't just leave our life to chance and find yourself in an airport late at night buying snacks that you shouldn't. But being able to be more intentional with the support that we bring in earlier so that we never get to that point. Now, to answer Mark's question, what empaths experience is a more sensitive nervous system. In grief, they're not just processing their own grief. They're going to be absorbing grief energy from others around them. As a practitioner, this does make it more challenging. A helpful place to start is to look at the volume of information that your nervous system is being exposed to daily. It will be a stress and eventually become too much for what your system can process. So create sensory safety first. Bring a weighted blanket in during sessions. Play calming music. Use earbuds between clients to block other sensory input. Work in low lighting. Change out the LED lights for natural light if possible. And then track your nervous system and notice which types of clients or sessions are harder for you to maintain your energetic boundary. Maybe those are just not what you can do right now at this phase of your life. Consider taking the foundational journey with me, where we start with 21 somatic exercises that changed everything for me as a practitioner. Things like stomach support, feet support, and eye support that allowed me to work long hours with back-to-back addiction medicine patients and maintain my boundaries as an empath because of the specific somatic support I provided myself while with my patients. I will also have resources in the show notes if you or others are relating to Mark and would like to go deeper into this topic. Also, reminder, take a moment to leave a review on Apple or Spotify and don't forget to tag me so you can get a strategy call with my team. For resources and guides, I have my Biology of Trauma book and you can order it now. It is on how the body experiences and holds fear, pain, and overwhelm and how to heal. You can pre-order up until September 22, and I'm giving over $400 of bonuses with that pre-order, and I'll have the link for how to get those bonuses once you pre-order on the show notes. There is a guide for the essential sequence, and that's what I would want to share with you as well, that shows the difference between the stress and the trauma states of our nervous system, and then what does that trauma state need? So when we go into overwhelm, what does it need to come back out? The foundational journey, as I mentioned, is a 6-week program, which is the place to lay the foundation for all the phases of the healing journey that I explain in that essential sequence guide. So if you are looking for emotional and nervous system regulation and changes in your physical health without a pill or medication, this is for you. If you are a practitioner, this is where it all starts with the year-long certificate training program to become a biology of trauma professional. It starts with the foundational journey. There are a few related podcast episodes to the topic of grief and sensitivity that you can check out, which is episode 22 on the role that trauma plays in highly sensitive people. And episode 102 was with strategies for empaths with Dr. Judith Orloff. Have a related YouTube video on the biology of grief, if that would be of interest. I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the healing journey. So please take a moment to leave a review on Apple and Spotify. Tag me so I can give you that strategy call. Your feedback is how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help others find the information that could change their life as well. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.